we're going to get right into the ministry of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everything that you are. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for what the place that you brought us from, Lord God, the place you brought us to. And we also thank you for the place you're taking us. We thank you, Lord God, that we are on your mind. You say you've been mindful of us. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping us on your mind. Thank you, Lord God, that you've been around us and you've been in front of us and behind us. But we thank you most of all just for being with us. We thank you, Lord God, that today our minds will change. Our hearts will change. Something in our spirit man will change, Lord God, that brings us closer to you, that brings us in a closer relationship with you, that allows us to be who it is you've called us to be as we walk in this earth. Lord God, as you are, so are we right now. We thank you in the name of Jesus that every plan, every scheme, every purpose of the enemy in our lives is broken in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, there is a clear passageway for your word. Your word declares that at the entrance of your word, it gives light. And I thank you, Lord God, for every dark place that may be in the lives of your people, light hits it this morning. And we are changed by the name of Jesus and by the power of his name and in his name. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to get right into this. Now, you know, it says that it's a new kind of warfare. And in talking about a new kind of warfare, there's a few things I'm going to share with you this morning. Some of you may have heard it before, but I believe most have not heard it before. But I believe that, you know, in any fight or any game that you play, the more you know the game, the better chance you have at winning. Say amen to that. If you don't know the game you're in, if you don't know the fight that you're in, then you become at a disadvantage in the fight, in the game, in the race. So, you know, if there's a track meet that you're in and all you've done is just done sprints, but the race that you're in requires you to know how to jump hurdles, how many know you're probably not going to win that race because you've not been training to jump hurdles? You've just trained to go, you know, 100 meters straight, a straight sprint. So depending on what you're in, you have to know the warfare that is required in order for you to win that particular fight. Because if there's sickness and disease, there's a warfare for that. If it's financial, there's a warfare for that. If it's peace, there's a warfare for that. So in everything that we deal with, there's a certain kind of warfare. You can't use one warfare for everything you're dealing with. Say amen to this. And because you can't use the same kind of warfare, the Bible says when we are ignorant of the enemy's devices, he gets an advantage over us. Did you hear what I just said? It says that when you don't understand or know what the enemy's devices are in the warfare you are in, you become at a disadvantage in the fight. And it's not that, watch this, it's not that you're not going to win. It just may take you longer. It's not that you're not going to win. You just may experience a whole lot more bumps and bruises. But go and put somebody, say, I'm tired of getting whooped. Go ahead, tell them, I'm tired of this. And if you're tired of getting whooped, like if I'm getting ready to go into a championship fight, the way it works, you probably won't even get to a championship fight if you've been getting whooped all the time. Amen, because the more you get whooped, the further down you go in the ranking. And you probably won't even see the person that's the champion to get the belt. The only issue with this is that you already got the belt. So if you already got the belt, watch this. In order to defeat the enemy you're getting ready to fight, you got to watch some tape on them. If you don't watch no tape on them, then you're not going to know what it is that their strength is, so that way you can take advantage of what their strength is and be able to expose their negatives or expose their weaknesses. So we got to stop winning on accident. Yeah, we got to stop winning on accident. Like every time I play somebody in dominoes, I win, right? I'm just saying. Hush, Pastor Mary. Hush, Pastor Mary. I always win when I play dominoes, but watch this. There's people sometimes when you're playing, you can tell they don't know what they're doing, but they end up winning. They don't know how to count the dominoes. Come on, Pastor Marco. He don't know how to count the dominoes. Uh-huh. He don't know how to count the dominoes. You know what I mean? He put down 20 and it's like 13 on the table. You know, I'm like, you know, you can't keep calling that. I'm going to take your points next time because you don't know what you're doing. You understand? But if somebody doesn't know how to play, listen, you're at a disadvantage from winning. And then you can't blame nobody else but yourself, or stop coming to the table. Because watch this. If I come to the table and I lose, I have nobody to blame. Come on, church. I have nobody to blame. So you either take that whooping or get up and let somebody else play. Now, what I want everybody here to be encouraged to do is, I don't care how many times you lose, it ain't over till you win. I'm going to keep playing till I win. Either I'm going to keep playing till I win, or y'all going to get up and say, never mind, I don't want to do this no more because you don't know what you're doing and I'm frustrated. See, sometimes if you just know that you're winning, sometimes you just got to learn, listen to this, y'all, you just got to learn how to outlast the enemy. Because the Bible says the enemy gets tired. Say, where did it say that? Jesus told somebody, he says, when a spirit goes out of a man, he goes in the dry places seeking rest. Somebody say he gets tired. So then if he gets tired, the Bible also tells you that your spirit, man, is renewed day by day. You got grace and mercy that is renewed day by day. So if I'm being renewed day by day and he gets tired, I cannot keep talking about how tired I am. I just got to stop leaning to my own understanding. I got to learn how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his. Now, if I'm going to be strong in the Lord, I got to know how he fights. Because there's a certain way he fights and a certain way he's anointed me to fight, that if I fight that way, I'll always have strength to fight. If I find myself getting weak and getting tired and getting worn out, it means I'm not fighting his way. So I've got to learn. Somebody say, I've got to learn how to fight. How confident were you growing up or even right now that if there's somebody around you that you know how to fight? You got a little extra pump in your step, you understand? Because if somebody say something, do something, I know I got somebody with me that know how to fight. And see, that's how you got to start doing with spiritual connections as well. I don't want nobody connected to me that's always falling out every time the enemy come against them. That means you're weak. That means you can't get a prayer through. The Bible says the strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. The Bible says that when the enemy comes against you, those of you who are spiritual or strong restore the other ones that may be weak at the time. So if I know that I'm strong in the area, you may be weak. Whenever you're weak, I can get you out. But then if I become weak in a particular area, I know I got people around me that know how to fight. Because when it comes to connecting with people, listen, y'all, there's warfare that comes with everybody you connect to. Did you hear what I just said? I said there is warfare that surrounds everybody you're connected to. So if I'm connected to you, there's a warfare that comes with you that I got to be willing to take on. You just think you're just getting friends all over the place. You ain't getting friends. You are obtaining, you are acquiring warfare. And this is the only thing you got to look for. When you go through, what happens to you? Do you disappear? You don't want to talk no more. You don't respond to texts. You don't respond to inboxes, you know what I mean, because you're just going through, so you got to shut everybody out, everybody down, and I can't talk to nobody. I'm gone for weeks to months at a time. Because watch this, if that's the case, listen to this, y'all. Whenever somebody's going through something that you're connected to, listen to it, that you're connected to, if they're always going through, that's not a bad thing. You say, what? It's not a bad thing. No. The Bible says that Satan roars about as a roaring lion. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Which means that if there are people, there's two kinds of people Satan looks for. He looks for weak links, and then he looks for folks that's real close to God. Go and put somebody and say, I'm not a weak link. Go ahead, tell them, I'm not a weak link. So the closer you get to God, the more attacks you get. Now, if I'm getting attacked because of my relationship and my closeness to God, then it means that there will always be things coming at me to get me from going to my next in God. Now, if these things are coming at me to get me from to keep me from going to my next in God, then I gotta realize if the attack is strong, the grace to get me out is stronger. So I'm not looking at whether or not you keep going through. I'm looking at if you keep coming out. Because if you keep coming out, you're who I want around me. You're who I want to be connected to. Paul would always talk about all the different things that he would go through. Paul said, listen, I done been beat, left for dead. I done been thrown in jail, all for the gospel's sake. I done been thrown in jail. I done suffered shipwreck. I've been on a whole bunch of boats, and for some reason, something leaking, something broke, and then we end up in the middle of the ocean, and I got to swim back to shore. But it's always when I'm doing something that God got me, that God has going on. So these things just ain't happening because I just got a lot of bad stuff around me. I am focused on the kingdom of God, doing what God called me to do, and it seems like every time I start getting focused on something, every time I start making a little leeway on something, either there's a personal attack on me or the people around me begin to get attacked and it begins to affect me. So I take my eyes off of Jesus and the assignment, and then all of a sudden all this stuff starts coming around, but it's only to get my focus off what I'm doing, because the enemy knows that what God is doing in my life is inevitable. What'd I say? It's inevitable. So if it is inevitable, that means he can't stop it. So the only way he knows to stop it is to make you stop it by getting off focus, or to get you to stop saying out of your mouth what God said about it. He can't stop nothing. I said the devil can't stop nothing. But he knows you can. That's why the Bible says he stands before God night and day accusing us, saying, God, your word says that if they did this or said this, this is the result of what you got to do. God, they was talking the word, they was obeying the word, but look at them now. The Bible says he stands before God day and night, accusing us. But the Bible says we also have an advocate with the Father. Whoever lives, he lives all the time in order to make intercession for us. So while the devil is talking about this, Jesus said, yeah, but I paid for that. Yeah, but I already got that covered, God. So then he tries to give us enough time to get ourselves together, so we can change the confession that's been coming out of our mouth, change the things that we've been doing to get back in line with the purpose and plan of God. Go ahead, put somebody once again and say, we've got to fix this. Yeah, we got to fix this. Now, let's go to the first scripture here. I want to begin to show you some different things concerning warfare that we must get acquired with. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 18. This is Paul talking to one of his sons in the ministry, Timothy. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the what? Come on, church, according to the what? The prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them, by the prophecies, you might wage a what? A war and a what? A good warfare. That by these prophecies, you might war a good warfare, which means that in order for me to begin to war in my life correctly, I've got to begin to remember and recall any prophecy that's been spoken over my life. The way I know I'm coming out of something is because I hold on to the word God gave me. If God said that this would happen in my life and this would happen in my life, that lets me know I can't stay where I'm at, because there's a word over my life and I've got to get to where I'm going, and the word of God going to bring me out of whatever it is that I'm going through. He says that by these prophecies, he says, I'm charging you and I'm committing to you according to whatever. How many of you have ever been prophesied to before? The Lord used somebody else to speak something into your life concerning your future. Come on, say, I got a word, I got a word, I got a word. Watch this. He says, according to the prophecies which went before on you, not just prophecies you heard. I'm talking about something that somebody said that God is speaking to you about. According to the prophecies that went on before you, that you by them might war a good warfare. The way you begin to have good warfare in your life is that you begin, again, to remember prophecies. Listen, if you don't remember them, when you get them from now on, write them down. So you can always go back to words that God spoke over your life. Because sometimes the word that God spoke that God spoke over your life is the only thing that'll see you through the current situation that you're in. Sometimes there's nobody you can call that can fix it. What do you mean nobody I can call? Because sometimes, you know, we have little prayer partners and stuff like that, but sometimes your prayer partner can't do it. Say amen to that. Sometimes you come to church, the word is good, but it still seems like that just ain't what I need. And Paul says, listen, if you just can recall and remember the prophecies that went on before you, it will give you what you need to war a good warfare. Let's go to the next one. Watch this, y'all. Romans 8:28. The Bible says, and we what? Come on, church, and we what? And we know. Now, do you believe I'm standing up here, or do you know I'm standing up here? I said, do you believe I'm standing up here, or do you know I'm standing up here? I said, do you believe I'm standing up here, or do you know I'm standing up here? You know. You believe, you only have to believe something that doesn't have evidence of what you're believing. You have evidence that I'm standing here. You believe I'm going to be here next week. But you know I'm standing here in front of you. So the Bible doesn't say, and we believe all things work. Your Bible says, and we know that all things. Somebody say all things. Turn to somebody and say, that includes your things. And we know that all things do what? They work together for good to them that what? And to them who are the called according to his purpose. So there's two qualifications to make sure that everything you go through ends up good for you. Come on, self-examination time. Number one, to make sure that the way that I will know that everything gonna work together for me, because this scripture ain't for everybody. Say amen to that. This scripture is not for all Christians. This scripture is for a certain group of people. And the scripture tells us who it's for. It is to them that do what first? Love God. Jesus, so how then do we measure our love for God? There's two ways. Jesus says, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, the love you have one to another. That's one way to know if I love God. The second way that I know, Jesus says, why do you keep calling me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? So that's the second way we know if we love God, if we just doing what he tells us. So he didn't say how much you pray. He didn't say how much you worship and praise him. He didn't say how much you come to church. He says, by your love, walk to one another, and you obeying what it is that he says. He says, if you do that, then you should know something. Come on, think about that. Let that marinate for a minute. Let that sink in. If I love God, and if I'm called according to his purpose. He said, well, I don't even know why I'm here. Let alone if I'm called to his purpose. Well, how do I know if I'm called to his purpose? I tell people this since I've been preaching. If there's something you don't know with God, spend time with him until you find out. We can't keep going 20, 25, 30, 40 years and still saying, I don't know. If there's something you want to know from a best friend that you got, what do? You talk to them. And you don't stop the conversation till you find out everything you need to know. So if there's something you got, if there's something you want to know from God, what you got to do? Spend time with him. And you talk to him. And you don't leave the situation, you don't leave nothing until you find out what it is you want to know. Because this is a qualification for knowing everything going to work for me. I got to know I'm the called according to his purpose. What does that mean? That means that God is always involved in a purpose, but there are, and you know, with certain purposes, there are certain sons and daughters he raises up to fulfill a purpose. When that person, when that purpose is done, God will restructure, rearrange where those sons and daughters are in the body of Christ and raise up a new set of sons and daughters to carry out his new purpose. So if I'm called according to his purpose, that means right now at this time, I'm supposed to be here doing what I'm doing. There will be a time that God restructures it and rearranges my life to make sure that I'm still doing what he called me to do, but I've not been raised up in the time that I'm in. Because there's some people that are still ministering, but they're out of time. I didn't say you wasn't called no more. You're just not called according to his present purpose. Because there's purposes that God's involved in, and they happen in a certain period of time. That's why we always got to make sure we're doing what God tells us to do when he's telling us to do it, because the door is closing on your purpose. And you don't want the door to have closed, and you're still trying to operate in a purpose that no longer exists. You might have been good for one season. I'm trying to get you to understand how to war a good warfare, how to wage a good warfare. Let's go to the next scripture. Watch this. For whom, now we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, for whom God did foreknow. Somebody say, I knew God before I got here. I knew God. For whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Why did God predestinate me to be conformed to the image of what Jesus looks like? Which means that there's a spiritual thing that is happening in me right now that to the spirit world, I look like Jesus. Did you hear what I said? I said there's something happening in you and me right now that if we're called according to his purpose, God knew that I would be existing in this time that I'm in, and God says, I've already conformed you to look like Jesus so that way you can war a good warfare. So that I might be conformed to the image of his son, that his son, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Remember, I told you that whenever you are made in Christ, you are a different kind. You're a different species of man. If Jesus is the firstborn, it means that there's nobody that's been like him before him. There's nobody that has ever lived, existed, that is like Jesus. And if he's the firstborn among many, and I'm one of him, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation of the first, of which he is the firstborn of, which means that there's a certain kind of individual I got to start being. Because I've already been predetermined to be conformed to the image of him. That means I got to start acting like him. That means whatever kind of warfare he wages, I got to wage that same warfare so I can be like him, look like him, listen, and win like him. Go and put somebody again real quick and say, all I do is win. Go ahead, tell them, all I do is win. No matter what, hey. Okay, come on. Let's go to the next, Luke chapter 4. Watch this, y'all. And Jesus being what? Full of the Holy Ghost. Facebook, are y'all listening? Watch this. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I need y'all to get this. Before he ever did anything else, he was what? Full of the Holy Ghost. How do you get full of the Holy Ghost? By praying in the Holy Ghost. How many people we got full of the Holy Ghost? That means you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak with other tongues. All right, now watch this. Now, if he was full of the Holy Ghost and I'm supposed to be like him, that means I can't live this life without the Holy Ghost. You hear what I just said? If I'm supposed to be like him and I've been conformed to be in the image of him, if I don't got the Holy Ghost, I'm still not like him. Which means when I'm, whether I'm coming out of something or going into something, I should always be full of the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to teach you how to wage a good warfare. Which means you got to start praying more in tongues than you do in English. Say amen to this. So as you're praying on a daily basis, listen, pray more in tongues than you pray in English. If you're taking notes, write that down. If you're not taking mental notes, put it in your spirit. Start praying more in tongues than you do in English. If you want to be full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, building up yourself on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. That means I get the faith of Jesus when I pray in the Holy Ghost. Watch this. And being full of the Holy Ghost, Jesus returns from Jordan and was what? Led by the Spirit of God. Now, we know Jesus is the Son of God, right? And your Bible says in Romans, it says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if I'm going to be made in his image, not only do I got to pray all the time in the Holy Ghost so that I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I will also be led by the Holy Ghost into some things, into some places and some situations that may not make sense to me. But I'm being led by the Holy Ghost to go places. Led of the Holy Ghost to do certain things. Led of the Holy Ghost to start certain things or stop certain things. And I don't know what's going on, but God don't talk to my mind. He talks to my spirit. He was led by the Holy Ghost. Now, we all know why he was led in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he was led in the Holy Ghost just to be tempted. Did you hear what I said? He was led by the Holy Ghost to go be tempted. We be trying to run away from temptation. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost led him to go be tempted. So when you're full of the Holy Ghost, everything you do sometimes won't make sense. Are you listening to me? So it's not that everything you do all the time is going to make sense. It's that you got to be able to pick up in the spirit when God is saying something, when God is doing something, when God is leading a certain way. Because if I'm full of the Holy Ghost, there will be things, people, and places that I'm led to and away from that I don't get. Look at verse number 2. Being how many days? 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did what? He did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he had the word hunger. Now watch this here in verse number 2. It says, "And being so he was led by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness to be tempted. Now while he was being tempted, he also was on a fast. I'm talking about a new warfare, a new kind of warfare that you may not be used to. In the Old Testament, people fasted to get insight, clarity, instruction. But in the New Testament, we don't fast for clarity and instruction. In the New Testament, we don't fast to get answers and clarity and instruction. Because we're under a new kind. So under this new kind of creation that we are, The fast of the Old Testament is no longer the fast of the New Testament. The fast of the Old Testament now, you got the Holy Ghost in you. So if you need instruction, that's why you pray in the Holy Ghost. If you need clarity on something, that's why you pray in the Holy Ghost. I shouldn't have to go on a fast for somebody who's already in me that Jesus said will teach you all things. The Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know everything you need to know. So why am I fasting for instructions? Why am I fasting for clarity on something? Why am I fasting for answers on something when the one who has all the answers is living in me? The reason why I'm not getting answers is because I ain't praying in the Holy Ghost. I didn't say you wasn't praying. I said you ain't praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray when you pray in your understanding, you pray what you know. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray what God knows. The Bible says the Spirit of God knows what the mind and will of God, and he prays through you the perfect will of God. So then Jesus goes on a fast because of he has to deal with the devil. Did you hear what I just said? I said Jesus only went on a fast not because he needed clarity, not because he needed answers. Because we already know the story. Every time the devil threw something at him, he already knew the answer. He says, it is written. And didn't Jesus say, when the Holy Ghost be in you, didn't Jesus say, and he shall bring all things back to your remembrance, whatever I have already said to you? Did Jesus not say that? So the job of the Holy Ghost is to bring things back to my remembrance, but I be so full of him, I know how to deal with the devil. So then a new kind of warfare for you is to only fast from now on to deal with the devil. If you ain't dealing with the devil, you don't need no fast. You just got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, put somebody and say, I'm getting this today. Go ahead and tell them, I'm getting this. I'm getting this. So being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, which means he was on a fast, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Go to the next one. Watch this, y'all. Verse number 5. And the devil, now the first thing the devil did was, you know, told him to make the stone into bread. We already know that, all right? But I want to show you this one because it has something to do with what we're believing God to do over these next few weeks, talking about our first fruit. Say amen to that. It says, and the devil taking Jesus up into a high mountain showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Because listen to this, y'all. In order for something to be a temptation for you, you have to want it. If you don't want it, it's not temptation. You talking about my Jesus? Yes, I am. He wanted everything that the devil brought to him, he wanted. But because of the word that was in him and him being full of the Holy Ghost. So listen, the issue is not that you want it. Because some of us, we want to get to the place, and God, you know, I just want to get to the place where I don't even want it no more. No, that might not happen. Amen. Because some people have the testimony that once God delivers them, they you know, there's no taste in their mouth for it no more. They don't want it anymore and everything else. And some of us say, God, why didn't you do that for me? Because I still want the thing. Say amen to this. But it's, you know, there's different deliverances, all right? But now watch this. It says the devil took him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Next verse. And the devil said to Jesus, all this power will I give you, Jesus, and the glory that comes along with them, for it is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, was he lying? No. He wasn't lying. All the kingdoms of the world belonged to Adam and Eve first. But when they fell, they gave them to the devil, to the one that talked them out of it. And now Satan is saying, I'll give it all back to you, Jesus. He says, if you just fall down and worship me. Which, watch this, y'all, which means my worship is attached to God's goodness in my life. But the only way I get God's goodness in my life is not to get tricked into trying to get what God has for me another way outside of God's way. Because when Satan brings something to you and say, now, you know, you've been believing God for all this money. You know what I mean? You need to take care of your family. You want to go on these vacations. You want to get this. You want to get that. You even want to give to your church. What if I told you that I can give you all of that if you just do a little bit of this over there? Ain't nobody got to know what you're doing. They ain't got to know where your money came from. All these kingdoms, and all the kingdoms are different ways that the earth operates. They're called, so when we say the world is not the earth. The world operates on the earth. The world is a system. That's why Satan is the god of this world, but the earth belongs to the Lord. So then the world, he's the God of, and he was telling Jesus, I'll give you all the ways that people operate and do things on the earth so that way everybody cannot worship you. But Jesus already knew, if I just obey God, God already has something in place that I'm going to get that worship anyway, and I don't want to cancel, I don't want to forfeit, I don't want to undercut God's plan for my life by always taking shortcuts to get there. Because there is a way for us to prosper in the kingdom. And then there's a way to prosper according to the world system. Now, if I'm in the kingdom, I got to operate and live by the kingdom to get kingdom results. But I cannot be operating in the kingdom but still using world methods and then ask God to bless it. You asking God to bless something that is diametrically opposed against him. You're stealing from folks. You're lying about stuff to get money. You're going to the plug selling stuff. Come on, we talked about the plug last week, y'all. Come on. So there's different ways. Come on, put somebody and say, I know how to make money. Go ahead, tell them, I know how to make money. Making money is not the issue. It's about me making sure I do it right. God's way. Because your Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. But the end of that way will only bring destruction in your life. There's a way you can get some quick money. Some easy money. And have everything you need. But then there's also a kingdom way. And watch this. Ain't it just like the devil to always put you in the company of the people that can get you the wrong money the wrong way? It's always a hookup. It's always a plug. It's all, you know, it's always somebody. But it seems like when I want to do something right, ain't nobody around. Don't nobody got nothing that I can help out with? Don't nobody got nothing that we can kind of do something together? That's right. That ain't got to be looking over my back every 5 minutes. That is certain phone calls I know I don't answer. Certain places I know I don't go because somebody else might be there. All this power will I give you in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I'll give it, Satan says. Look at the next verse. If you therefore will worship me, all of this will be yours. Satan says, listen, if you just do it my way, Satan says, I'll make sure you have everything you want. And we all know people in mainstream entertainment, mainstream, all of that stuff, that has actually been open and say, I made a deal with the devil. Which is why they always on top. Which is why they always winning the awards. Which is why they always in the movies. They're always getting top dollar because they made a promise to do something. And we over here in the kingdom, like, you know, I'm just trying to do right and can't get $5. Say amen to this. You know I'm telling the truth. Jesus answered and said, get thee what? Behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall thou serve. In other words, listen, I know I got all these other ways, but I'm sticking with God. Watch this. I'm going to keep tithing. And I got quiet in the room now. I'm telling you the kingdom way to war. I'm going to keep tithing. I'm going to keep sowing seed, because that's the way we do it in the kingdom. Jesus says the kingdom of God is as if a man should sow seed in the ground. So the kingdom operates by seed, time, and harvest. If you learn how to sow, see, the kingdom way ain't I get and then I sow. The kingdom way is I go, I sow and then I get. It's another kingdom. It's another way. It's another warfare. And did you know your money is a way that you fight spiritually? I said, did you know that your money is the way you fight spiritually? there's things you can do, things you can build, things you can establish for the kingdom of God that will bring more people to Christ. The Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that there was a poor man that had all the answers, but didn't nobody want to listen to him because he was poor. Because sometimes we're like, you know, but ain't anybody listening to me? You know what I mean? And I got this and I got that and God doesn't know me. Okay, but you broke. But the Bible says, ain't nobody listening to the person that ain't got nothing. So I got to begin to operate kingdom principles, because if I got answers, I got to be influential. That's just the way the world operates. If you're not influential, don't nobody want to hear nothing you got to say. You could have all the answers. Well, I got power. Okay, ain't nobody listening for your power right now. People want to know, what do you have? So you say, well, I know this already. I know this already. I know that already. Okay, well, then you got to start making what you know work for you. Because once it starts working for you, all of a sudden people want to know what you know. But if they don't want to know what you know, you ain't there yet. And him only, Jesus says, shall thou serve. And God is the only one that we're going to serve. In other words, God's way, I'm going to do this God's way no matter what. Listen, if you're still looking for scriptures and people that on social media and YouTube to find out how in the world can I not tithe no more? Yeah, yeah. It's becoming a big thing now. It's becoming a huge thing. We don't have to tithe no more. Tithe was under the law. And everybody say, you know what? You're absolutely right. Well, tithe didn't come in the law because the law came with Moses. Abraham existed 400 years before Moses. Which means that if he existed, and your Bible says that Abraham brought tithes to Melchizedek. And when he did, Melchizedek blessed him. And the Bible says that whenever you bring your tithe, this says it, I believe it's in the book of Deuteronomy, it says when you bring the tithe, you shall bring it to the priest that shall be in those days. Then your Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Come on, y'all. Listen to this. He's a priest. So Jesus is not the priest after the Levitical priesthood. In the Levitical priesthood, you had to be born a Levite in order to be in the priesthood. But Jesus was not born under the Levites. He was born. The Bible says, whoever comes from Melchizedek, didn't nobody know where he came from. The Bible says he showed up out of nowhere. He disappeared out of nowhere. The Bible says they didn't know if he had a mama or a daddy or a family or anything. They didn't even know where his kingdom came from. And Jesus is a priest after the same order. People knew Jesus growing up, but then when he finally said who he was, they're like, okay, where's your kingdom at? We've been knowing you all the time. We know where you live. That can't be your kingdom. But Jesus made it clear, my kingdom is not of this world. So then the order of Melchizedek says if Melchizedek received tithes in his day, and then Moses being prophetic, God used him to say, you shall take the tithe to the priest who shall be in those days. And your Bible says that Jesus is our high priest who ever lives for us, making intercession for us, which means that if Melchizedek received tithes in those days, Jesus still receives them in this day. You don't bring your tithe to a man. You bring your tithe to your high priest. And your high priest pronounces the blessing over your life. And then that's how supernaturally things keep working in your life. I don't know where my money keep coming from. I have no answers for it. I don't even want to know. Just keep the stuff coming. Now, of course, if you got a job, you know you're working. But I don't want to just depend on my work where my money come from. I want money to show up supernaturally. I want checks in the mail that I wasn't expecting. I want refunds. I want you paid too much for this. I want your name was picked. I want somebody somewhere in your family somewhere left you some money. I want somebody that got something and they told God, God, what do you want me to do with this? And God brings my face and my name across their path in their prayer time. Listen, if you release what's in your hands at the level you are, God will speak to somebody else to release what's in their hands at the level they are and the level that you need it. I tell people this all the time. Your job does not make enough money to give you what God has for you. Your job provides seed for you to sow. Your job provides tithe for you to give. And then God speaks to other folks to increase you. So if I am still looking for ways not to give and not to sow, and you know what the Bible just says, you know, as every man purposes in his own heart, so let him give. So whatever I want to give is what I can give, and God's still going to, no, that ain't how that works. The principle of the tithe existed even before Abraham and Melchizedek. The principle of the tithe is in the Garden of Eden. Jesus said, you can eat of everything you want except this one, the tithe. When the man took the tithe, everything got cursed. What got cursed? What was meant to bless man? The ground. Everything we need comes out the ground. And when man gets the opportunity to bring what he stole from God, because that's what it is, you're stealing. If you take something that don't belong to you, what's that called? If you know something belongs to somebody else and then you take it, is that stealing? So then he says, until you bring me back what belongs to me, what I meant to bless you will still curse you. I just don't know, because you know there's a whole lot of folks, and you know they saying it on, and it just makes total sense, because you know they saying that, you know, we really don't have to tithe no more, and you know whatever we decide to give. Listen, y'all, we got to stop looking for reasons not to obey God, and looking for ways not to obey what we know God is saying, because that other stuff feel good to your flesh, but your spirit man is rejecting it. It feels good to my flesh to know that I can still, you know, have a little something. I ain't got to give God 10% of this. I need that extra little 10% to do some other stuff that I just got to do. But you're stealing. The Bible says you're a thief. You're a robber. Remember, y'all, what's a thief? A thief is somebody that steals from you right in your face, but you don't know that they stole, and they're going to help you look for it. Come on. Yeah, they will help you look for it. That's a thief. But a robber is somebody that will come right up to you and say, break yourself. I'm the one that's doing it. You know it's me. You know my voice. You know my face. And I'm robbing you right now. And the Bible says that when you take from God, the Bible says that will a man rob God? That means, God, I'm doing this in your face. What you gonna do? And then still have the nerve to ask him to bless everything you got. The nerve to come in my house, take and steal from me, and then expect me to do something for you. That's bold, ain't it? I'm trying to give you a new way to warfare, because you've been warring, you have been warring totally different ways, and it's still not working for you. Now watch this. Let's go to the next one. Matthew 17. And when they were come from a multitude, this is a whole nother story, y'all. A man had brought his son to Jesus to have him cast out, but he brought him to his disciples first. When they were coming to a certain multitude, there came a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water, which means that there was a man, he had a son, the son was full of a devil. Say amen to that. And this devil was harassing his child, and he wanted his child to be free from this demonic possession that was in his son. Let's go to the next one. And I brought him to your disciples, to the people in your church, Jesus. And they could not cure him. But y'all always talking about all this power y'all got. But I brought my son who had a real devil. I ain't talking about somebody that just needed to be, you know, rebuked. I'm talking about somebody that really got a real devil. But they could not cure him. Jesus about to tell us why we can't cast out no devils. We ain't got no real power. Watch this. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, what? Faithless and perverse generation. He's about to tell us why we're perverse and we are faithless. How long should I be with you? How long should I suffer you? Bring this boy to me. Next verse. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of the boy, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus' apartment. In other words, they waited until everybody left. Church was over because they was embarrassed. And they said, why could not we cast out this devil? Jesus said to them, because of your what? Your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove, and to yonder place, and it shall remove. And what? Come on, church, and what? And nothing shall be impossible unto you. How be it? This kind. Remember I said that we're a certain kind because we're in Christ. Now, whenever you start dealing with certain things and certain spirits and certain devils, sometimes there's ones that the disciples was already casting out. Your Bible says Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits, and he gave them power to cure sickness and disease. And the Bible says when he did that, they went out, they did ministry, and the Bible says they came back, and they were rejoicing. They said, Jesus, even the devils are subject unto us through your name, which means they knew how to cast out devils. But then he says, this kind, it's another kind you're dealing with sometimes. When it comes to this money, y'all, it's another kind of spirit. So watch this. He says, this kind don't go out but by what? Prayer and? So he's telling us again, there's a certain kind of demon you got to operate with that fasting only works with. Which means if I fast, I can be full of the Holy Ghost. If I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I know how to deal with the fight that's coming to me. Fasting in the New Testament is about fighting the good fight of faith, not getting answers, not getting clarity. Jesus is trying to say the fast of the New Testament is to make sure you're strong enough to endure spiritual attacks. That when you speak to the devil, he listens. When you speak to the realm of the spirit, it obeys your voice. This kind. Everybody say this kind. This kind going not out but by prayer and fasting, which means the more I'm full of the Holy Ghost, the more I'm ready for spiritual battles. We keep trying to go into all these spiritual battles, you know, and listen, when you start fasting, don't be worried about, well, what can I eat, you know, all the rest of that, and, you know, I'm finna lose this weight, glory to God, and I'm finna... Come on, y'all. We got to get off of that. This is a spiritual thing. There's some devils you got to deal with. This ain't about your body. Well, can I eat peanuts? Because peanuts is supposed to be a meat. Come on, y'all. Fast. Peanuts is a meat family. You know what I mean? Like, get out of here with that. We make it about stuff it ain't even about. That's why we don't ever get no answers when we come out of fasting. We still big. Come on. Say amen to this. We ain't got no answers. We ain't got no instruction. And we so ain't ready to fight no devils. And fighting in the New Testament is supposed to be able to deal with devils. That's why he said this kind. Unless you're fasting, you ain't got no business in a spiritual fight. Unless you're fasting, when you're giving, watch this, when you begin to give and you begin to tithe and you begin to sow seed, you know, and I don't even know how the Lord going to lead you to do it because he leads everybody differently. You just got to be led by the Holy Ghost. Did you hear what I said? You got to be led by the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not always, if you do A and B, it always equals C. Because the Holy Ghost may tell me to do one thing one way because of what he's doing in me, and he'll tell you to do something else because of what he's doing in you, but we all end up at the same place. We got to stop getting on methods because your method is not my method. We do principles, not methods. Because my A plus B may equal F. Your A plus B may equal Y. But at the end of the day, we all get results, because that's all we want is results. So if we fast, listen, y'all, Jesus, when he fasted, he just fasted everything. He fasted food, period. Now, I ain't telling you 40 days. I'm saying do whatever he tell you to do. Because I don't know if you can do 40 days, amen. Be in a hospital somewhere, come on. But whatever he tells you to do, you fast. So don't say, you know, well, I don't need to do food. I need to do TV. I need to do the internet. No, do food. Because that's what Jesus did. Every time he fasted, it was food. No food, no water. See, look at it. Look. In order to deal with the devil, you can't have nothing flesh in you. If you want to win. Because as the Holy Ghost begins to talk to you, listen, if you fasted, when the Holy Ghost begins to talk to you, you don't have to filter it through your own stuff. You will be clear and clean in order to hear from God and clearly be able to know this is what God is telling me to do, and I'm going to obey God. Because if the Lord speaks to you, but you got to filter through all the other stuff you got going on, well, Lord, I still got to pay this. And this is coming up, and I already got this vacation set.
Yeah, come on.
And then we come up with all these excuses on why we can't obey God, but then we still expect God to do what he said he going to do. God puts it like this: if you return to me, I'll return to you. Is that the last one? Let's keep going. That's the last one. Now watch this, y'all. I want to give y'all one or two more things, and then we're going to be done, and we're going to get up out of here for this week. But watch this. I want to show you this because I want your – now watch this. When you understand you're in a different warfare and your warfare changes, you've got to change. I said whenever your warfare changes, it changes you, but you got to change. The Bible says when Jesus came from that 40-day and 40-night temptation in the wilderness, the Bible says that he returned in the power of the Spirit. He went in full of the Holy Ghost. He went out of there in the power of the Spirit. And when he went out of there in the power of the Spirit, Luke chapter 4, it says that he went to church. And the Bible says when he went to church, he must have already had some kind of position, because he went right up to the front and he took the book of Isaiah. And it says it opened it where the place where it was written, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. After he's had a fight with the devil. He went straight from the fight with the devil straight to church. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon, which means that listen, y'all, the Spirit of God was already in him. But until he won the fight with the devil, the Spirit of the Lord could not come upon him. Until you prove he's in you, he'll never come on you. How did he prove the Spirit of God was in him? Because every time something came up, it is written. It is. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is going to keep bringing the Word of God out of me. I have cleaned myself out of all fleshly things, and now whatever God is saying is the only thing I hear. I don't have other voices in my head telling me to do something outside of God. Again, I ain't saying it got to be 40 days. I'm saying it may just be a day. It may be 2 days. Whatever it is, obey God. Come on, put somebody and say, let's obey God. So he says, listen, when it comes to this, we have to be able to identify what change is God trying to bring in me, so that way when I come out of this, I can say, now the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. If I can win, listen to this, y'all, if I can win a money test and I do what God tells me to do with my finances, will I come out with something that is now on me to get it? What do you mean something come on me to get it? Your Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18, do not forget the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth. There is a warfare for wealth in your life. And if you keep disobeying God, you'll never get wealth. You'll always just kind of get not enough or just enough all the time. When God says he's the God of more than enough. I know I get quiet when I start talking like this. I got amens all in me right now. You understand? He says, watch this. He says that he wants to get you so to the place when you go on these fasts that listen, every time you get your check, every time you get surprise money, every time you find money, every time something comes to you, your first thing is, God, what do you want me to do with this? Because if God, listen, if God can trust me with what he's given me, because watch this. Listen to what I did not say. I didn't say if God can trust you with what you have and what you got. I said if God can trust you with what he gave you. If God can trust you with what he gave you, watch this, there will be nothing he won't trust you to build. God is holding back certain things for you to do and you to build in life and in ministry and with your family because he doesn't know yet if you're going to do the right thing with it. God said about Abraham, he said, listen, I will not hide anything I'm doing from Abe. He said, because I know that he's going to command his children after him. I know I got Abraham's heart. I know that Abraham has me in his mind. I know Abraham has me in his spirit. So whatever I'm doing, I'm going to make sure Abraham knows so that way I can always know and understand I can get whatever I need to him and he's always going to do with it what I tell him to do with it. The question is, if God gave you what really belonged to you right now, would you still serve him? Of course, our answer is all yes. That's the regular answer. That's the answer we're supposed to say. But the question becomes, what are you doing right now with what you got? Because again, whatever you got right now is proving to God that this is how I'm going to do when you give me more. So if you're stealing now, you're going to steal when he gives you the promise. If you're robbing him now, you're going to rob him when you get the promise. Now, you can keep choosing to war your own warfare the way you've been doing. I'm just trying to give you another way to warfare to make sure that you win every single time. Because, again, we can't keep having accidental victories. You're getting victories and you can't repeat it over again because you don't even know what you did. You just happen to stumble up on something. No, I'm going to do this thing the same way every time, and that way I'm guaranteed victory every time. He made a way to make sure I win every time. And I've got to stop taking shortcuts for something that I know requires me walking in his word. Now, I know one of the models of y'all church is we obey God, right? That means in my walk with God, that means in my walk with other people, my brothers and my sisters, we obey God. Now, it seems like there's just a few areas in everybody's church where folks obey God, and then there's folks that we just got issues with. It's consistent throughout the whole body of Christ. It ain't just this church. It's everybody's church. And it always seemed to come to that giving. Because your Bible says wherever a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. So then if your heart is in a certain place, you can tell because it's where your treasure is. So if God don't got your money, it's because you don't love him yet. And that's not a twisting of scripture. That's what your Bible says. The way it got twisted is folks saying it means something else. Just like, you know, if you're married or you're dating or whatever the case is, if your spouse got your heart, they should have your money. Come on, say amen to that. Come on, come on. Y'all done got way too quiet right there. I said if your... Yeah, we got to test some people. The devil just got the victory. Y'all, come on. That was the test. Didn't nobody say nothing right there. Said, okay, you know. Let me see who else going to say something. I said, if you're married, you're dating, whatever the case is, whoever it is that you got something going on with, if they got your heart, they should have your money. You said, I ain't dating nobody else. You said, hey, you looking over here, Pastor. I ain't got nobody. Shoot, right? The Lord got my money. Come on. Uh-huh. If we can just, see, Jesus said it like this. He says that the kingdom of God is as if a man would sow seed, and then the Bible says he rise day and night. And says the things spring up and he don't even know how. This is the time, this is the season that we just got to start obeying the word without knowing how everything work. We just going to keep doing the word of God and we're going to rise day and night. And all of a sudden, one day something going to come up and we don't know how it came up. We don't even know where it came from. We just know that we did what God told us to do. There is a principle in seed and there is a principle in the ground. That if I put seed in the ground, there's principles in both of them that will cause something to come up out the ground if I just sow. I can't explain it. I don't have to explain it. All I got to do is just keep rising day and night. And whatever principle is in this seed that I sow and whatever principle is in the ground, when they come together, something got to happen. Well, I just need to understand why and how. No, you don't. You don't need to know everything. Did you hear what I said? You don't need to know. You just need to know what God said and obey God. Do you know that in the book of Genesis, and we're almost done here, do you not know in the book of Genesis, the Bible's told man, he said, listen, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Which means, now listen, it wasn't fruit. Everybody say it wasn't fruit. It wasn't fruit. It wasn't fruit. It wasn't real fruit. It wasn't something you physically eat. He tells you what the tree is. He says the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which means that a tree or someone was there in order to give knowledge that God did not give. In other words, there was something, listen, y'all, there was something God did not want us to know. And someone else was giving information that God said don't get. That's why the Bible says when Adam and Eve ate of that tree or ate of that knowledge, their eyes were open. And they saw things they didn't see before. Why? Because all they knew and all they saw was God. Now the other information came to give them other knowledge outside of what God wanted them to know. So sometimes when you're seeking for knowledge outside of what God wants you to know, you'll find out things that keep you away from God. God don't want us knowing everything. But there are things that he does want us to know. And there's a way to know. Because remember, the Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Not everything, just the things you need to know. So if there's things that I'm supposed to know that the Holy Ghost gives me, and then there's things that sometimes we go after. Well, I just need to know how this works. And I need to know how this works. And I need to know how this power works. And I need to know how to get this done. And there's people that are in the kingdom of God that have found different, what do you call them? Different spiritual things. And, you know, you're, you know, reading horoscopes and looking at tarot cards and all of this stuff. And then what you end up doing is you end up going away from the kingdom. But you still got stuff working for you because it's still supernatural. And you think that because it's working, it's God. And God says, no, you got knowledge you wasn't supposed to have. You just need to know me, God says. If you just know me, you'll have everything you need and you'll know everything you need to know. Stand to your feet.